Well, I would appreciate your prayers and attention a little while again this afternoon. Written on the board, a word in Christ's stead. A little thought, burden the Lord's been talking to me about, I'd like to look into. I'd like to begin first in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians, the second chapter. Begin here with the first verse. Paul addressing the church at Ephesus. Sometimes we see the form of our brothers and sisters as we know them today. And it's hard to imagine how they were before the Lord got a hold of them. You hear folks talk about, you heard Brother Rick talk about he'd fight at the drop of a hat. Y'all imagine Brother Rick being that way. You hear of the testimonies of what the Lord has done for other brothers and sisters and the way they used to be and what the Lord delivered them from. And I think I can't imagine them there. I'm so thankful that the blood of Jesus does a thorough job. It thoroughly saves and delivers and has the power to make a new creature, to make a new creation again. I'm so thankful that we don't still just hold on to a form of what we were, but that we're a new creation, that we're made in the likeness and in the image of God after the inward man as well. Whenever we're born again, I'm thankful for the work of salvation. Paul writing unto the church at Ephesus, those that at one time were in great darkness, in a pagan and an idolatrous land, and that was all they knew, it was what they had lived and born forth in their life, but the Lord got a hold of them. It says, and you hath he quickened. He's made you alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Do you know, our world today seems to think that they're doing what they do because this is what I want to do. And I don't want anyone telling me what to do. I'm an independent thinker. I'm going to think the way I want to think, and I'm going to do the things that I want to do. But that's not freedom. That's not real liberty, because it's not really the things that they want to do. It says you walked according to the prince of the power, the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. It was his influence working in you that tells you the way to dress, that influences you in the things that you want to do. There's nothing new under the sun. The things that our nation is trying to bring back, that's nothing new. It's something that's in days gone by. Sodom and Gomorrah faced the judgment and the wrath of God upon it, and so many different kinds of sin and of wickedness and of darkness. That's what comes from the flesh. If you sow to the flesh, you'll of the flesh reap corruption. It's what it'll bring forth. It's the fruit that'll be manifested in your life. If we look at a book right before Galatians, the fifth chapter, I want to come back here to Ephesians. But it says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before and I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. It's manifested. You see it on every hand. You remember what Jesus told the Pharisees? In the dialogue, the conversation he had with them when he said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they said, We are free. We're not in servitude. We're the children of Abraham. We're freemen. But he let them know, you're not free. Whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin. And he said, you're of your father, the devil, and his works. Let's just turn and read that. Hold your place there in Ephesians. Let's get John chapter 8. John 8, we'll read the 41st verse, 8 and 41. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication, we have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. He said, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He said in the 41st verse, ye do the deeds of your father. The things that you're working in your life, the things that are manifested in it, it doesn't matter how you try to dress it up. It doesn't matter if you, as they say, try to put lipstick on a pig. There's something ugly that's coming forth from your life. The works that you're doing, the things that are being born out in your life, it's not beautiful. It's not comely. It's not honorable. It's not a virtue. You're doing the works of your father, and that's what's born out in your life. Paul was saying to them here in Ephesians, that's what you were. You were of your father, the devil. You walked according to the prince of the power of the air. You were influenced, or you were programmed with the things that he programmed you to do. You did the works of your father. Says Paul said, believe in one place that he's talking about the recovering of those that are in a snare, that they might be able to recover themselves from the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. They're not free. They're taken captive of the devil at his will. He holds the influence. He holds the position of king, of ruler, of authority, of their life, and of father. And they're bearing forth the fruit of that, the evidence of it in their life. What an empty life. What an empty way to live your life. Wasted years, bringing forth things that are under the flesh and of corruption. It says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. That's the pivot point of this whole story. Whatever it tells about, that was the condition that you were in. This told the story of your life. But it says, but. You learn in grammar or when you're putting sentence structure together, but negates what was said before it. It changes the direction of what was just said. I could say to you, I love you, but. Uh-oh. That means I'm just changing directions of what I just said, so look out. You were of your father the devil. You were bearing forth his fruit, but God, who is rich in mercy, has raised us up and set us, made us sit together in heavenly places. Now I'd like to look down a little further here. Verse 12. That at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You were without Christ in the world. You were aliens. You were strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. You know, it's a bleak existence. It's a hopeless existence, and it's a place that so many in our world today find themselves in, trying to cope, trying to make their way through another day by whatever means they can. We hear about the opioid crisis, and we hear about prescription medications that are being abused, and so many antidepressants and all that people have developed a dependency upon, trying to cope, trying to deal with life. Aliens, strangers. Psalms chapter 7 says, the wicked God will judge, that he is angry every day with the ungodly or with the wicked. There's enmity between the sinner and God. They're not reconciled. They're not together. There's not a unity. There's strife between the two of them. And you know, whenever the Lord blows on what we do, whenever the Lord, and he told the children of Israel, he said, if you will follow my ways, then I will fight for you, and I'll go before you, and I'll make the way before you. But if you refuse and rebel, I'll fight against you. We're going to be at strife one with another. Don't want to be God's enemy. Don't want to be in a place where the Lord is angry with me every day, where there's enmity between me and God. But it says this is the place that you were in. But the Lord, one night on the dark hillside, sent the message. It says, glad tidings of great joy to all men. Peace on earth. Goodwill toward men. That was the Father's heart, and his desire is want to be able to have peace on earth. My heart towards you is of goodwill. I want to reconcile. I want to draw back into one that which is separated in a conflict and strife that are enemies one with another. It says, ye are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace who hath made both one. The Jews and the Gentiles, those that were of the lineage of Abraham, that followed the Jewish customs and traditions, and those that were outside, the Samaritan woman that he met by the well, she wasn't of the Jewish lineage, she wasn't a Jew, she wasn't following those customs, but he made a special visit to her, and he began to minister to her. He must needs go by that way. He wanted to go and reach that woman, who was left as an alien, who was left outside of the commonwealth of Israel. But he was making a way for her and for all of us today to be saved. For it's no longer the Jewish traditions and customs, but he is a Jew which is one, how? Inwardly. It's an inward work that's done now. And it says that he's broken down the middle wall of partition, and he has made both twain of two different bodies. He's brought us together in one. Of twain, making in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. I'm so thankful that that was the Lord's heart and his desire. Whenever he would reach out to those that were lost and without God and without hope, it was his desire to be able to take those that were estranged and bring them together. Those that, as the rich man lifted up his eyes being in torments, remember it said there is a great gulf affixed between the two of us, that you're not able to come, you're not able to span that gulf. You know, that gulf is only realized by those who have a great gulf affixed in their life on earth. That great gulf is between them and God, where they can't span it. They can't bridge that distance. I can't reconcile myself unto God. But Christ, through his blood, paid the price and paid the atonement to make peace with us and God. To reconcile is to pay the price, or it is to take two things that are at variance with one another and to reconcile or bring them in harmony together. Only the blood of Christ could bring sinful man into harmony with a holy and a just God, to change the nature of man, to cleanse us from all sin. That's the Lord's desire. We sang a song earlier. I don't know if I remember the number of it. It's talking about, do we make an effort today to reach those that are afar off, those that are oppressed? Do we make an effort now? What I want us to consider this afternoon is the responsibility that we have. We sang another song that said, tell what He's done for you. Whenever the Lord saves us, it's not just to live unto ourselves. But Jesus went back to sit on the right hand of the Father, and He's given us a charge, a responsibility. I'd like to read a little bit about that. 2 Corinthians 5 and 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Whenever Christ came and didn't impute our trespasses, O Lord, if Thou shouldest mark iniquities, who shall stand? We live in a time and in a world, an age whenever many will say, you can't rise above sin. You can't live free from sin. But I say unto us, the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. It gives us power. It makes us a new creature. And the blood of Jesus, the forgiveness, the atonement of Jesus, it separates completely. We read about it by the word. It says He blotteth out our transgressions. To blot out is to remove all trace of it. You can see on this whiteboard, you can see a trace of words that were written before. That someone wiped it off, but you can still see the faint resemblance of it. You know, the blood of Jesus takes that which is black and stained and dirty, and He washes it clean. There's no traces of it. I remember one time, even as a child, or a young person, and I was struggling with things, and I was feeling convicted, and I felt like I had failed the Lord in some areas, and I looked back, and you know how the devil will work at a time like that too, and you've done this before, you've displeased the Lord before, and you just keep coming to the Lord over and over again. And I remember going and telling someone, as I was wanting to pray with them, I said, I just feel like I need to throw the whole sheet away and just get a clean sheet and start over again. Because as I tried to relate it in my young mind then, and I said, it feels like a sheet of paper that you've drawn something on and erased it and drawn over it and erased it and drawn over it and erased it. And then pretty soon it's so smudged up that you can't even see what you're writing. That's not what the blood of Jesus does. The blood of Jesus does not impute our transgressions and our iniquities to us. He casts it as far as the east is from the west. What a wonderful privilege and blessing that I don't have to go carrying and dragging those chains of guilt and sin along with me. That I can leave them at the foot of Calvary. Do you remember there were two beggars? They were sitting at the gate of the city that was besieged by the Syrians. And it had been under siege for a long period of time. And they were so hungry that they even began to eat their own children. But the Lord had mercy, and He drove away the Syrians by hearing a sound. They thought that they heard the sound of a mighty army or something advancing toward them. And they ran in fear so quickly that they left all their possessions, their food, and all their bounty behind. These beggars got to a point and they said, we're so poor off, in my words, we're so in such a pitiful condition, we might as well just go into the camp, see if they'll have mercy on us, because we'll either die here or we'll die there. So let's, then they went out and they went into the camp and they said, this is a day of glad tidings. They saw all the food all around them and the things that they had been destitute of in full abundance all about them. Isn't that kind of what salvation does? We who were destitute, who were hungry, who were spiritually blind and poor, as orphans, as outcasts, to all of a sudden find a great storehouse before us. From the door of an orphanage, the song says, to the house of a king. Only the blood of Jesus can do a work like that. But they went and they saw all about them and they began to enjoy and feast. But they stopped. And they said, do we well? For this is a day of glad tidings. Let's go back and tell our brethren. That was the responsibility that was on those men. Not to just sit and feast and enjoy and grow fat at the Father's table, but to realize and to have a heart that the Father has. To say, you know what, there are other people back there, right in the very place that I was in. I'm no better than they are. I didn't earn all of this. I didn't drive the enemy away. But God, by His great mercy and favor, did this. And look at the bounty that I have before me now. Am I doing well to just sit here as I'm sitting? They're asking, are we doing well to just enjoy this and keep it to ourselves? Their heart then was changed to say, I want to go back and tell the good news. I want to go back and share the glad tidings. And folks, that too is our responsibility. It's what it's talking about here that we just read in 2 Corinthians. He has committed unto us a ministry of reconciliation, not just to the preacher. Yes, that's our calling and our responsibility. But we are, every one of us, called to be ambassadors of Christ. We are called to be representatives of Him to a dark and a sin-cursed world, to a world that's still under siege, to a world that still doesn't have the sustenance, the food, the bounty. They're eating one another, so to speak. They're biting and devouring one another, and they don't know the way of God. They don't know what peace really means. They don't know what it means to really lay down at night, and I don't need drugs to get my mind at ease. I don't need something to blur the sting of guilt in my heart. They don't know what it is. And yet we, with such great bounty, who can enjoy from Father's table all the abundance of what He's given us, the benefits of salvation that He daily loads us with. Yes, we are to get fat as the fatted calves of the stall, but we're to go as ambassadors of Christ, not to go live in a convent somewhere where we shut ourselves away from the world and say, we'll keep ourselves holy in this room. Jesus said, I don't pray that you take them out of this world, but keep them from the evil, right in the midst of the evil world all around them. He had confidence. Do you know dictators rule by fear? Dictators rule, they don't have confidence that the ones that they're ruling over will serve them out of loyalty. So they have to instill fear in them. Don't run away. Don't try to take a boat out of here, we'll shoot you. They have to try to instill fear in them because they don't have the confidence that they'll serve and love them. But Jesus said, I don't pray that you take them out of the world, but give them the power, give them the love to be able to keep them right in the midst of all the dark and evil influences all around them. Do not be overcome with evil, but what? Overcome evil with good. Now we're set on a different trajectory. A different mission that we have now. You who were sometimes afar off, who were sometimes darkness, are now made light by Jesus Christ. It says Colossians, maybe it is that he has delivered us from darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Oh, what a change. Taken us from the slums of darkness and he's translated us into the kingdom of light. He's given us a new purpose, a new direction. We who were, like the Pharisees, going about doing the works of our father, the devil. Our father has changed now, hasn't it? He's not our father. He's not our master anymore. Let's get to go along with this. Romans, the 6th chapter. Romans 6 and 18. It says, being then made free from sin, ye become the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. When you were the servant unto sin, you obeyed your master, the author of sin. You obeyed him. You followed his ways. You walked according to his course and his influence. And ye were free from following. It says, being made free. When you were servants, you were free from righteousness. So now, having been translated, now our master is God. We walk in light and not in darkness, and we're made free from darkness, free from sin, free from the works of the flesh, to serve God in true holiness and righteousness. That's what we're called unto now, to bear forth that fruit in our lives. The ministry of reconciliation. He said, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, in Christ's absence. He's gone back to sit at the right hand of God, but he's given us a responsibility. He's given us a charge by saying, you are my ambassadors. An ambassador is one that is vested with authority by the government that's sending him to act in all matters of business, of transaction, of foreign affairs in a foreign country on behalf of the government that's sending them. In other words, I represent the government of the United States. If I were an ambassador of the United States, I'd go to any other nations of the world, and on behalf of the government of the United States, I present this to you. Or I offer this, or I make this statement on their behalf. We're given that responsibility as children of light to be ministers of reconciliation, to be ambassadors in Christ's stead to those that are in darkness while he's not here in the flesh anymore, walking this earth. Yet he's given us the responsibility, those of us who are walking this earth, represent me to this dark world. Make peace, offer reconciliation to those who are still in darkness. I look back on my times of my life with shame. Can remember friends that I had as a teenager, as a boy, whenever I wasn't serious about living for the Lord, and we would run around together, and the decisions that I made at the time, I look back on and I say, what great mercy God had on me in turning me around from the direction that I so easily could have gone down. But I look at my friend today and I see my friend kept going right down that same path. And I think, God, could I not have been there for him as an ambassador of Christ? It's not just to the adults, even to the children. We've had this conversation with some of our children. You have a responsibility to your friends. Be an ambassador of Christ. We never know the influence that we're able to have on those around us by a kind word, by showing somebody we care, by showing somebody love and appreciation and respect, the difference that can have. We never know, as we heard in Sunday school this morning, even though the world may revile us and speak evil of us, they're watching. They're watching our lives in ways that sometimes we may not even understand. I remember having taken a stand at one of the plants I worked at for work and regarding dress code, and told them that I had a conviction on wearing long sleeves and that I couldn't wear the uniform that they wore. And so they were very gracious, the managers, and they found a uniform that would work, but it was a different shade of green. I felt conspicuous. I walk in the first day and there's the whole group of them were supposed to be coming in for a team photo. People looking at me and, what's Clint wearing? What's that all about? And it's in Mississippi. So it's hot and they're looking at me and I'm the only one out of a whole shop of people that's dressed like this. And oh, the devil will try to work with that too. But you know, of all that time, amid the pointing and the questions and the snickering and all of that, the day came that I was moving from Mississippi. And a man came to me and said, Clint, I just want to tell you, I really appreciate the stand that you took. He said, I noticed and I've been watching and you don't see that anymore. You don't see people with convictions that are willing to take a stand. I didn't know that there was anything but mockery and scorning and laughing. Folks, let's be faithful. Let's be a representative of who Christ is. Even when the world may scoff to our face, we never know the impact that it might have upon them. The conviction that it might bring to their hearts. Yes, that's the right way. I want to go that way. To be able to speak a word in season is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. To be able to know how to tell somebody that's in distress, God loves you. God cares about you. You don't need to be called into a pulpit ministry to tell somebody. God cares about you. God's able to bring you out of this. Sometimes it's the most simple things, like we mentioned and discussed a little bit in Sunday school. People, whenever they get into distress, whenever they have tragedy in their life and they don't know what to do and they don't know where to turn, sometimes something as simple as saying, could I have prayer for you? Could we offer a word of prayer? I want you to know I'm praying for you. To be able to step in and be a voice of comfort. We are the ambassadors of Christ. We are in Christ's stead, acting as representatives on His behalf. It means I don't go in my own interest. I don't go representing myself. I go representing Christ. What a charge. What a responsibility to us. Every day of our lives, not just Sundays and Wednesday evenings, but everywhere I go, in every circle, in every sphere of influence that I have in life, I have a charge. Be a representative of Christ. Be a representative. Act in Christ's behalf. An ambassador is one that does that very thing. I don't go into another country to promote myself or my interests. But the Lord has a government that's not of this world. He has a government that's found in the kingdom of heaven, that's founded and anchored in heaven, that extends down to earth to every one of us that are translated into this kingdom. Oh, it's not like the kingdoms of this world. But He sends us as unto a far country. Oh, it's so far estranged from this kingdom of light, the kingdom of darkness is. It's so different. The ways are so opposed. It's at such strife and enmity with the way that we know, with the customs of this kingdom, with the ways and the mannerisms of our King. But we've been sent to this country, to this dark world, as representatives of that heavenly kingdom. Show them the heavenly way. Show them that there's a better way Show them that that marriage still works as God intended it to. Show them that there can still be a people that work together in harmony and in love and in appreciation and unity together. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. To be able to show a world like that is to be ambassadors of Christ. In our dealings with them, should we never have our interest in mind? They hurt me, or they did this, or what about me? But Lord, help me to always have the mentality. As Jesus said, I do always those things that please the Father. That is my meat, is to do the will of the Father. Lord, I'm here on business. I'm here on business. The scripture says, comfort others with the same comfort wherewith ye yourselves are comforted. So the things that we receive of the Lord, it's not just for our benefit. Tell what He's done for you. Sometimes it's just sharing our testimony. You know, I was struggling with something too, and the Lord helped me. We don't have to be ashamed to say the Lord to this world. We don't have to be ashamed to say God helped me. God bless you. I was telling some others that a CEO of, I'll just tell you who it is, Republic Airways, came to our company this week, and he's the president, the CEO of the company, and he came in, and one of the first things he says is, I want to tell you what's made us successful as a business. I want to tell you what we're founded on. And he said that is a belief that there is a God, and a belief that He's made all of us in His image, and that all are created equal. And I listened to that. That's not something you hear from a CEO very often. And I thought, oh, get him. Go get him. Oh, it's refreshing. I'm glad to hear that. We don't have to be ashamed of the one that sent us as ambassadors. I don't have to go and hang my head and say, well, I represent. We don't have to try to disguise ourselves. An ambassador doesn't go into the other nation and try to disguise. If I'm going to Egypt, I'm going to make myself like an Egyptian so nobody will know me. I go wearing the badge, so to speak, of United States, of America. That's who I'm representing and its ways. Do we believe in our kingdom? Is our conversation in heaven, in a heavenly kingdom? Folks, it's what this dark world needs. In Christ's stead, do we stand today in those that we come in contact with to reach out to them? May the Lord help us that we be faithful. A faithful representative, ambassador of Christ. There's a song, maybe we can sing it later, Let Me Touch Jesus. And it says the chorus of the song says, just to be His hand extended, reaching out to the oppressed. Let me touch Him. Let me touch Jesus so that others may know and be blessed. You know, whenever I was actually looking for the words, let me be His hand extended, reaching out to the oppressed. And I started singing that in my mind. I said, well, that's let me touch Jesus. That doesn't seem to really fit with what I thought it was. But do you know, in order for us to touch lives, we can't touch lives unless we touch Jesus. We're not going to be able to be a help or a real benefit to anyone unless He's first helped us. Unless we've been able to reach out ourselves and touch the hem of His garment so that I can have something to give to those that are in trouble and in need. So that's what I want to encourage and challenge us with. In Christ's stead, to reach out to those that are around us, realizing they may not see His face to face. They may not be able to walk beside Jesus, but those that the Lord has put in my pathway, they'll walk beside me. They'll cross paths with me. Will they be able to see Jesus through me? Will I be able to offer to them? Will I carry the same burden for them that my Father does? That's doing the works of my Father. Being a faithful ambassador is to carry the same interest The same burden as the one that's sending me. Do we carry a burden for those around us? Or do we in our fast-paced lives, Lord help us, that I not just go through the motions and I rush through life? And I remember another boy that I interacted with in school, buddy. Didn't spend a lot of time with him. My mind was often on my own things and on my own interests, and I wasn't close to the Lord, even when I was trying to serve him. Buddy, a few years ago, took his life. My age, I thought, Lord, could I have made any difference? You had us in the same classes together, and Lord, could I not have been your hand extended? I don't say that to bring guilt, condemnation, but to challenge us with the opportunities that we have, not to rush through life, not to go at such a blur, breakneck speed that I don't realize they need help. They need a friend. They need somebody to go by and take cookies to them or whatever, to go mow their grass or sweep the sidewalk or just some way that I can be his hand extended, because that is my responsibility in Christ's stead, to reach out to those that are oppressed, to those that are in need and in darkness, just as he did to me, that I might be able to do to others. You pray for me. Amen.